So good morning, everyone. Feels really good to be sitting together this morning. So some of you have been here at the Grail practicing together for several weeks now, almost a month now. And some of us just arrived yesterday and are still settling in to being here. But for all of us on this first day of our Shuso session, it may be helpful to really check in with ourselves about our intention, about what brings us here for these days of intensive practice. So the first day of session can sometimes feel a little bumpy. We're not used to the schedule so much, and many of us have new service positions, and that can sometimes feel stressful too. So we want to take care that these things don't overwhelm the kind of quiet intention or devotion to practice that really brought us here. So I would encourage you on this first day to practice ease and practice simplicity, both today and in the days that are ahead of us. To let your weight just fully settle on the cushion during zazen, that you're here. So some of just our natural bodily tension that we carry around with us can start to release. And so we can just be present and allowing of our experience. In Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, Suzuki Roshi tells us that in the posture of zazen, our body and mind have great power to accept things as they are, whether agreeable or disagreeable. So really settle into that. Allow that to unfold. We can let that heal us, to bring together the parts of ourselves that have been pushed away or neglected, and to experience our fundamental connection and intimacy with things. On the very first day of this summer ango, Roshi encouraged everyone to sit zazen for the sake of zazen. Just for the doing of the zazen. It's not uncommon for us to come to a retreat like this, perhaps with some ideas or expectations of what we want to happen or how we want to be. And even if these ideas or hopes aren't fully conscious, they can sometimes be there, and experiencing disappointment or frustration is a pretty good indicator that maybe we have brought a little of that with us. So if you experience any of that, just see it. Just note it, that it's there. The hidden kind of hopes or demands or expectations we may have around session and around ourselves at session are no different, really, than those we have about life, how we believe our life should be, and how, in our opinions and judgments, we believe we should be. So the clear seeing into that internal infrastructure is what has the power to free us? By bringing everything up to the light, just making it all conscious. In settling in today, it may be helpful to remember also that each week at the Grail, the community here is a little bit different, with some people leaving, some new people arriving. Yet each week, the Sangha finds its way to a harmonious way of being together. This summer, we've been especially fortunate to have our Shuso, Bokushu, who has taken such wonderful care and attention with us. He has truly embodied the Bodhisattva's methods of guidance. So during these days of session, all we have to do is be attentive and open to what is here, to keep the practice energy strong, and trust that the way is already naturally unfolding. As Master Dogen reminds us in our Ango study text, when you leave the way to the way, you naturally attain the way. So during session, I find there's something really powerful about sitting together. As the sun is coming up over the hills and trees and the gradual light starts to fill the zendo, as we're seated and we're chanting together the verse of atonement, the verse of the kesa, we hear the birds start to make their morning chants as well. At such a time, it feels like we're participating in a form that is deep and ancient, that people have done together for many centuries. Yet it also feels personal and intimate to chant together in this room with our small community where we know each voice. So I really appreciate that early morning chanting. I think it's kind of remarkable when we can chant and open ourselves to sound and vibration at the same time as we're chanting. And if you do this, you find that the voice that seems to come from your mouth is somehow the voice of the whole Sangha. I guess we could call it the one voice. Our own individual voice is there. But what we experience is a voice that's much bigger than just ourselves. So to paraphrase Zen Master Dongshan, you could say, you are not the chant. The chant is exactly you. And this is very much the identity action that's described in our Ango text, where Dogen says that when we know identity action, others and self are one. And that one voice seems like a way that we can experience this session. Perhaps it's a way we can experience our life. So this experience of the one voice is something that Dogen wrote about in his fascicle, Ika no Myoju, One Bright Pearl. This fascicle is based on a teaching phrase from an earlier Chinese master who told his students, the whole universe in the 10 directions is one bright pearl. Dogen takes that teaching of the pearl and says, the one bright pearl expresses something eternal, So it brings eternity into the present moment. Although we have bodies and minds that exist here and now, the whole universe is one bright pearl. A stalk of grass, a tree, the mountains and rivers of the world are not only themselves, but the one bright pearl. So when it comes to our activity of chanting, we could say that our individual voices are not only themselves. They are that one bright pearl, that one voice. And this is true for all of our activities, our bowing and kinhin, taking our meal together. Later in Dogen's fascicle of the pearl, the question is raised, what use is there in trying to understand the one bright pearl with the intellect? So it's a kind of a cautionary note for us that if we try to analyze oneness or grasp it with the intellect, grasp it with thought, we're going to miss it. We'll find ourselves with our various thoughts and opinions about what this one pearl, this one voice might be or might mean or how do we find it. All of that just moves us further away from it. Instead, we're always encouraged to drop our thoughts, drop our analysis, and just to open and allow. Uchiyama Roshi describes that so vividly when he gives us that visual of opening the hand of thought. That's the hand that grasps onto thought, concepts, judgments. And all we have to do is remember to open the hand, moment after moment. Sometimes you can actually feel it in the mind, when we've kind of grasped onto something with thought. There's a kind of tightening or contraction that sometimes happens. We can also feel like what it's like when that releases. When we've gotten caught in our story about something, and when we release it. And there's just the activity, just the encountering of whatever is there. When we first come into Zen practice and start to hear this word oneness, we can have a lot of concepts, sometimes misguided concepts. Certainly that was true in my experience about some misguided concepts, about what that word meant. So it's so important to remember that in practice, it's not something for us to analyze. It's experiential, and we can experience it in intimacy with whatever we are doing. We find this when we take a breath and we just reconnect with life, with our life. Reconnecting because originally nothing was ever unconnected. So when we were sitting in the Zendo this morning and the sun was coming up, I was kind of struck by how much the light seems to have changed just in the week since I was last here at the Grail. It's like something shifted. And even though today is warm and it feels like a kind of a muggy summer day, I think we can still sense that autumn is coming in a way that wasn't really here before. Some of the leaves are even starting to turn yellow and come down. So for me, autumn is a time when I kind of most viscerally realize how time is swiftly passing by. another year heading into the fall. You know, and with that recognition, I think there can come a certain urgency or intensity to practice, because we see that this time swiftly passing by is our life. That things are impermanent and time is passing is not separate from the one bright pearl, the one body. As we chant, form is exactly emptiness, emptiness exactly form. Because there is the one bright pearl, there are our individual lives and the constant change around them. And in a world of such impermanence, we may wonder what there is that can sustain us, that will help us and allow us to be of help to others. And what we are fortunate to have are the three treasures, the three jewels of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. I was involved with precepts study here with Miyoko Sensei earlier this month. I found myself connecting in a new and deeper way with the three treasures and with what is called taking refuge. So we say that we take refuge in and are one with Buddha, the awakened nature of mind, the great one voice, the one bright pearl. That we take refuge in on our one with Dharma, with reality itself, with the way things actually are. And that we take refuge in and are one with Sangha, with harmony, with the community of those who have chosen to follow this path, those who offer us support and those who we support with our presence and our practice. So it may be worth reflecting on this phrase of taking refuge. I remember how that stood out to me when I kind of first came into practice. There was something that seemed almost life-changing about it. It was a little scary to me. It seemed to involve such a profound reorientation of life, such a level of trust and a wholehearted faith in the teachings. So, what does this mean to you? In one of the dedications during service, the Eno chants that we sincerely seek the beneficent guidance of the three treasures. So, how do you see that in your practice? What would it be like during our time together this week for us to really give ourselves to that? If you think about it, we could say that all of our activities in a week of formal practice like this are forms and manifestations of taking refuge, of being one with the three treasures. We sit together, being intimate with ourselves, with our experience. We bow, we walk, we take our meals together. We work and clean together. We chant together, experiencing the one voice, whether we are chanting the verse of the Kesa, putting on the robe of liberation, or chanting the Heart Sutra with its wisdom of form and emptiness, All these are intimately a part of being one with the three treasures. The Dhammapada says that driven by fear, people go to many places to take refuge. But those who have gone to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha for refuge, this indeed is the safe refuge, the supreme refuge. So taking refuge, being one with the three treasures, is interwoven with the fundamental truths of Zen. That things are impermanent, fluid, interdependent, without an abiding self, conditioned, meaning that they arise under certain conditions and that they will change when conditions change. When we really recognize this truth, we realize that none of the externals in life offer us any kind of permanent or guaranteed sanctuary. I'm referring to externals in life like our relationships, the identity we have as perhaps a strong person, a competent person, a smart person. Perhaps we have a strong and healthy body. Could be our career, could be our savings. When we look with our wisdom eye, we see that none of these things are guaranteed for us to be permanent or reliable because their nature is to change. So we can appreciate and have great gratitude for the positive things in our life while they're with us. And at the same time, realize that our true refuge is in the three treasures of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. They're what enable us to live with wisdom, compassion, and clarity in a world in which all things, including ourselves, are impermanent, interdependent. So we can practice over and over giving ourselves to this during session. So come into this sanctuary of the three treasures and let yourself fully experience it. Our time together here this week is actually brief. It's a short session. So don't wait. Let yourself fully experience it now. From the time of the wake-up bell through all the activities of our day, we can let this be our true home.